day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the AeroTech second quarter 2017 earnings results conference call. All lines have been placed on listen-only mode. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad to reach a live operator. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Yaakov Haroz, Senior Vice President and General Counsel of AeroTech Corporation. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Angelica. I would like to welcome everyone to AeroTech's second quarter 2017 earnings call. Hosting the call today are Dean Crutty, our Executive Vice President and Acting CEO, and Tom Popp, our Chief Financial Officer. Before I turn the call over to Dean and Tom, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and there can be no assurance that they will in fact occur. AeroTech does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive nature of AeroTech's industry, as well as other risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed during this call. These non-GAAP measures are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes the presentation of these non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operations and prospects for the future. Unless it is otherwise stated, it should be assumed that any financials discussed in this conference call will be provided on a non-GAAP basis. Full reconciliations of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures are included in the earnings release. And with that, I'd like to now introduce AeroTech's Executive Vice President and Acting CEO, Dean Crutty. Dean, the call is yours.
Thank you, Yaakov. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. During the second quarter of 2017, AeroTech recognized $21.5 million in revenue and $1 million in adjusted EBITDA. This result was below our second quarter expectation, due primarily to the timing of awards in our U.S. power and simulation divisions, as well as further investment in a strategic product development within our U.S. power division. Our training and simulation division delivered $10.2 million in revenue, while our power division delivered $11.3 million in revenue. Power division revenue were nearly evenly split between our U.S. and Israeli power companies. We have booked important awards recently and believe that our second half will improve markedly as forecast to bring 2017 annual results to within our previously provided guidance of $93 to $103 million in revenues and $7.5 to $8.5 million in adjusted EBITDA. We do expect that our less than anticipated second quarter results will make the low end of earnings guidance more likely than the high end. Our operating expenses in 2017 are down from a year ago, due primarily to significant reductions in corporate expenses. We do, however, continue to make needed investment in important divisional selling and marketing and internally funded research and development efforts. As highlighted in our press release, our training and simulation division received a contract from the Army National Guard for FACS operator driving simulators. This contract from the National Guard Bureau is valued at $10.5 million with a period of performance of just over 2 years. This award will build upon FACS' previous Army National Guard efforts, which began in 2006 and have resulted in the fielding of a total of 27 training systems to 25 different states. The current effort procures 9 new mobile systems and provides capability enhancements for 16 of the previously fielded systems. This program has been long anticipated by our team and should help drive revenue improvement in the second half of 2017 and in 2018. Within our simulation division, we are well on our way to a record sales year for our Milo Range Use of Force product line. To this end, we recently received a $1.5 million award from the Police Department of Hong Kong. The Hong Kong PD has an extensive training program that includes our Milo Use of Force product in live fire training exercises. This new order will bring 8 additional systems to a customer who received 34 systems from us several years ago. Additionally, our Milo team continues to secure meaningful awards from the Department of State under the $40 million 5-year IDIQ contract that we announced last year. We have reversed a somewhat disappointing award rate from this customer last year by actively addressing customer needs and by performing well on our deliveries. Our simulation division continued to see very strong demand for our weapon simulation-based products in Q2. We have successfully hired 10 new engineers this year to support the demand, and we'll continue our hiring in the second half of 2017. Within this division, we are also supporting our previously fielded boom operator trainers for the Air National Guard with operators, maintenance, and training. The U.S. Air Force extended our support for those trainers with a $4.1 million award during the second quarter. In our power division, we continue to deliver strong results from our battery companies in Israel. We've obtained the certification necessary for our new MR2790 battery line and have just begun deliveries against a 60,000-piece order that we won last year. We expect to be in full-rate production for MR2790 and MR2791 batteries in our facility in Zerat, Israel, through the rest of 2017. In addition, we received FAA approval for a new water-activated battery design that will help maintain our industry-leading position for water-activated aviation life vest lights. We expect to transition our production line during the second half of this year to the new design. Our U.S. power division, UEC Electronics, continued to invest in hybrid power solutions in the second quarter beyond what we had anticipated. New investment of $500,000 during the quarter has lowered earnings for our U.S. power group. We continue to believe in the mobile hybrid power solutions we are developing for the Marine Corps and the positive contribution that this product line will make to our future financial performance. We look forward to delivering a product that meets the Marines' needs in the third quarter. In our other significant hybrid power effort, the $3.4 million order to support U.S. Army CERDEC in developing a grid energy storage system, UEC has successfully completed the first two milestones of that program on time and on budget as we work toward a critical design review at the end of the third quarter. Finally, UEC continues to support SAIC in achieving milestones on the Amphibious Assault Vehicle Survivability Upgrade Program and is now under contract to deliver the first four of 52 vehicle electrical upgrades that will be delivered prior to the beginning of full-rate production. We are working closely with the SAIC team in Charleston, South Carolina, and look forward to giving added life to over 450 of these vehicles that provide mission-critical capability to our U.S. Marines. Before I turn the call over to Tom for a detailed review of our financial results, I'd like to remind listeners that our guidance is provided as of today, and we undertake no obligation to update our estimates in the future. With that, I'd like now to turn the call over to Tom. Tom, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dean. Revenues for the second quarter were $21.4 million compared to $21.8 million for the corresponding period in 2016. The year-over-year decrease was driven primarily by lower revenue in Aerotech's vehicle simulation product area. Gross margin for the second quarter was $6 million, or 27.9% of revenues, compared to $7 million, or 32.1% of revenues for the corresponding period in 2016. Operating expense was $6.1 million, or 28.4% of revenues in the second quarter of 2017, compared to $7 million, or 32.4% of revenues for the corresponding period in 2016. Our operating loss for the second quarter is $115,000 compared to an operating loss of $16,000 for the corresponding period in 2016. Aerotech's net loss from continuing operations for the second quarter of 2017 was $595,000 or 2 cents per basic and diluted share compared to a net loss of $569,000 or 2 cents per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusted earnings per shares, or adjusted EPS, for the second quarter of 2017 was 1 cent compared to 2 cents for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or adjusted EBITDA, for the second quarter of 2017 was $1 million compared to $1.3 million for the same time last year. We believe that information concerning adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EPS enhances overall understanding of our current financial performance, and Aerotech computes adjusted EBIT and adjusted EPS, which are non-GAAP financial measures, as reflected in yesterday's press release. On a year-to-date basis, revenues for the first 6 months of 2017 were $43.8 million, compared to $47.2 million for the corresponding period in 2016. The year-over-year decrease, again, was primarily due to the lower revenue in Aerotech's vehicle simulation product area. Gross margin for the first 6 months of 2017 was $12.5 million, or 28.5% of revenues, compared to $14.7 million, or 31.1% of revenues for the prior period last year. Operating expenses for the first 6 months of 2017 were $12.9 million, or 29.2% of revenues, compared to expenses of $14.6 million, or 30.9% of revenues for the corresponding period in 2016. Our operating loss for the first 6 months of 2017 was $341,000, compared to an operating income of $126,000 for the corresponding period in 2016. Our net loss from continuing operations for the first 6 months of 2017 was $1.4 million, or 5 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to $951,000, or 4 cents per basic and diluted share, for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusted earnings per share, adjusted EPS, for the first 6 months of 2017 was 2 cents, compared to 6 cents for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusted EBITDA for the first 6 months of 2017 was $2 million, compared to $3.2 million for the corresponding period of 2016. Turning to the balance sheet, as of June 30, 2017, the company had $5.4 million in cash and cash equivalents, as compared to December 31, 2016, when the company had $7.4 million in cash and cash equivalents. As of June 30, 2017, the company had total debt of $15.8 million, consisting of $3.8 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $12 million in longer-term loans. This is in comparison to December 31, 2016, when the company had total debt of $13.5 million, consisting of $3 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $10.5 million in long-term loans. The increase in long-term loans was due to the mortgage on the purchase of the primary office facility of our simulation group, which was previously leased. The company also had $6.3 million in available unused bank lines of credit with our primary bank as of June 30, 2017, under our $15 million revolving credit facility and $10 million term loan and a $3 million mortgage that was secured by the assets of the company and the company's U.S. subsidiaries. The company had a current ratio, computed as current assets divided by current liabilities, of 2.2, compared to the end of the year, December 31, 2016, when our current ratio was 2.0. As of December 31, 2016, Aerotech had a net operating loss carryforward for U.S. federal tax income tax purposes of $46.9 million, which are available to offset future taxable income, if any, expiring in 2021 through 2032. Utilization of U.S. net operating loss is subject to annual limitations due to the provisions of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 and similar state provisions. The company accrued $229,000 in non-cash tax expenses in the second quarter of 2017, reflecting the uncertainty of the deductibility of intangible expenses for federal income tax purposes. At the end of the second quarter of 2017, Aerotech had a backlog of $61.3 million versus $52 million at the end of the year, second quarter of 2016. The simulation division had a backlog of $38.7 million at the end of the second quarter of 2017 versus $21.4 million for the same time last year. The power division had a backlog of $22.6 million as of 6/30/2017 compared to $30.6 million at the end of the second quarter of 2016. That concludes our prepared remarks. Before we open up the call for Q&As, I'd like to remind all participants that Dean and I are regularly available to the investment community throughout the year, and we look to participate in relevant conferences and investor events. Operator, you may now open the call for questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Mike Crawford. Mike, you're live.
Thank you. Glad to hear you're shipping the MEPS to the Marines in the third quarter. What's the timing from there?
Good morning, Mike. So once we ship the product to the Marines, they're going to undergo testing. We expect, depending on how the testing goes, if the product satisfies their threshold requirements, that they will move then next year toward a production contract.
Okay, Dean, so next year, is that government fiscal year 18 production contract, and is that something that they would have just one winner or two?
Our expectation is a five-year IDIQ type contract, at least $80 million, beginning in 18, and going for 5 years, we would expect only a single awardee.
Okay, and right now there is one. Is there still someone else that's still in the competition?
As far as we know, there is.
Okay, but we haven't seen anything from them yet.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. And then what about the status update, if any, on potential RFI and RFP for common driver training?
The latest from the U.S. Army for that program is still holding the expected award amount at around $110 million. They're expecting to get to draft RFP still this calendar year and a final RFP in Q1 of 18, and then to award after that. That's a slight slip from what they had advertised at the beginning of the year.
Okay. So, overall, UEC Electronics has had a lot of speed bumps along the way. So what's the current assessment of that operation?
Mike, the folks at UEC are building some very important technologies that I've outlined in the past that are important to our future, MEPS obviously being one of them. DPCMS is one that I've highlighted in the past that's very important that will continue to provide important revenue for that group. The speed bump really is getting MEPS delivered. This has taken longer than we wanted, longer than we anticipated, and has caused us to increase our spending on getting those systems out. But the importance of it to our future is obviously very large, so we feel that the investment at this time is a prudent thing to do because of the future that possibly provides for the company. But in the background, they're working a lot of programs very successfully, DPCMS being one of them. CSAS is one that we do for the Marine Corps that I've talked about in the past that continues to be very good for the company. We still expect the Army to get involved there. And then we have a myriad of programs that we work for Raytheon, especially in the Integrated Defense System group at Raytheon, that are going well. I do expect in the second half a high likelihood also of us getting finally some new Greens work, which has been more or less dormant for the last year and a half, but we have some strong interest from the U.S. Army right now that I think will get us producing that product again, which has been a very successful product for us.
Okay, thank you. And then thank you. I'll jump back in the queue.
Great. Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Gates.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I was wondering if you could just go over some of the drivers for the back half. I know you guys have some battery orders and the LRIP on the AAVs and hopefully some VCTS phase one, but is there anything I'm missing there, and is there anything falling off, I guess?
Thanks, Alex. So as Tom outlined in the first half, our biggest disappointment was in our vehicle sim area, and the National Guard award that we just announced was long anticipated, came later than we expected. The vehicle sim area specifically, I expect to be incrementally about $6 million stronger than it was in the first half. With most of that coming from both VCTS and the National Guard effort, which were more or less, non-accountable in the first half. We have, in addition to those military orders, new orders from New Flyer and some community colleges in our commercial segment that we're going to add, as well as some police sim sales that together should provide us with a large bump in vehicle sim, which has been the biggest driver of our disappointment in our revenues in the first half. But beyond that, I think, Alex, you've heard me talk more or less glowingly about the way our Milo group has been selling. We continue to expect that to grow into the second half, as well as our weapon sim group in simulation. So that's where we expect the biggest incremental differences to occur.
Got it. Okay, that's helpful. And the $10 million increase in the backlog, was that primarily just from the new contract that you guys announced?
Correct.
Okay, Got it. That does it for me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Michael Bursick. You may now state your question.
Yeah, hi. I missed the first couple of minutes. So can you sort of, if you don't mind, just go over what you said you expect for the second half? And then secondly, maybe just a macro picture of the businesses that you're involved in. How has that or has that changed in the last 6 to 9 months? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Michael. In the beginning of the call, we basically laid out that our first half was soft for a couple different reasons, both on revenue and on income, but that we expect to have a big second half to bring us back to within guidance. As far as the macro view of the company, I think if you've been watching our press releases, we had a large award from the U.S. Army on VCTS, which is a very important program to the company. That builds for the company from this year into next year, and then in 19 and 20 should be doing around $10 million a year in our simulation division, which is going to help keep that that division moving in a forward direction. And then within our power group, I've been highlighting our work on providing electrical upgrades for the amphibious assault vehicles, which is work that is being done under subcontract to SAIC, and that work has been successful and has a growth path that has us delivering 450 vehicle upgrade kits to upgrade amphibious assault vehicles that are scheduled to get this upgrade over the next 5 years. So those two programs, I think, one in each division, are what keep us in a growth mode, I think, through 19 and 20. And then I don't know if you were on the call when we talked about MAPS, which is currently something that we're investing in and is dragging on earnings, but the potential there is quite large. And the company, you know, in South Carolina, our U.S. Power Division, has a very strong foothold in providing mobile hybrid power solutions for the Marine Corps and starting to work with the Army as well, which we think could be a game changer for our U.S. Power Group.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question, please press star 1. Okay, there appear to be no further questions at this time. I'll turn the floor back over to Dean.
Thank you, Angelica. So that concludes our call for today. I'd like to again express my appreciation for your interest in AeroTech.